The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Sports Talk 1240 is brought to you by DraftPot.com. DraftPot is changing fantasy sports. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with promo code SportsTalk1240 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. And now, Sports Talk 1240.
Been April 10th, 2016. And the regular season's almost over, but your local New York teams are in the playoffs. And the music that's playing right now, the theme song to SWAT, is because we got an extra cop in the room tonight. You're with Sweeney and the Waz on Sports Talk 1240.
Hello, hello, hello.
I'm Derek Wasiak, John Sweeney across the way. We welcome in my old partner, Matt Rosano, tonight.
Welcome.
Three cops and a convict.
No.
We got John Panarese with us.
Another Islander fan, Islander blood.
He may not have been arrested, but he is convicted of being an Islanders fan.
Oh, that's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, folks,
I'm Johnny.
We're guilty right
just,
with you.
That's a small amount of sympathy for me. I am surrounded by not one, not two, but three fish stick lovers.
At least
and I have to endure 2 hours of excitement.
At least the class
Islanders
level is raised here tonight.
Finally getting past the first round.
Yeah.
Well, we we're listening to the schmooze now? He's going to make fish stick references?
Yeah.
Matt
course.
And Johnny, can I just tell you something?
That's just a requirement.
Hold on a minute, gentlemen.
Half a range of fans.
Before we go any further, I just want to say, let's get the broom out because the sweat. This is the first time in the history of the series that the New York Islanders swept the New York Rangers. That might be telling you something's going to happen this year, something special.
It's exciting, right?
It's very exciting.
Very
excited. You excited about that?
I'm 22 years, I'm waiting, and it's going to be broken this year, my friend. The only thing is, I wish we were playing you in the first round.
You know, it's the first time the Islanders put up 100-plus points in back-to-back seasons since 1982.
Yep, absolutely. Yes.
The 81 and the 82 seasons was the last time they did that. They did it a few times during that big stretch from 75 to 84. They also had a coach win 45 or more games for the first time in back-to-back years also.
Give a big shout-out to Cappy.
Way back, same years, 81-82 season, Al Arbor did it. Cappy, Coach Capuano, who I think you owe an apology to because he's done an outstanding job.
For what
he's got over 200 wins now in his career. It was like 207 or something
yes.
like that.
Right, correct, John. But I will say, look, you know what? For what he has actually, you have to give him a lot of credit for what he was playing with. And now he's shifted the lines around. Tavares is playing on actually a first NHL first line in the NHL with Oposo and Franz. And look what Johnny T has done this last couple of games.
You're excited about that, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hit the 30-goal mark again, 70-plus points.
He had three points against Washington, three against Tampa.
If he had somebody that can consistently play in that line with him, he would have had a lot more.
Yeah,
he had Bailey and Strom in there, which is...
Can we not mention Josh Bailey's name the rest of this radio show?
Thank you.
So 70 points for JT, because we know, as we sit here and speak, he has taken the night off.
Thank you.
Along
with
Kyle Okposo,
which they
and Franz Nielsen.
Which they should be doing.
And several other players.
Yes. Because they are playing somebody.
And the Islanders attempt to secure fourth place, but is still stuck in a 2-2 tie after one period at the Barclay. The Brooklyn Islanders.
That's right.
It would be fourth or third, right? Correct?
If they win, they finish in third place ahead of the Rangers.
Thank you.
If they lose, they finish behind them in fourth.
Right.
Thank you.
But we know for a fact, as we sit here, the three men that are Islander fans are rooting for the Flyers tonight.
Not true.
And
not
the man
true.
Sitting in the Ranger jersey is rooting.
I'm not rooting for the Flyers because to me it's like I said in the car. You know, these guys are professionals. It doesn't matter who they're going to play, whether it's Florida or Pittsburgh. I don't think that's on their minds. I think that's more of a fan, you know, boogaboo type of thing.
Well, last time I checked, you three guys are fans. So don't tell me that you're not rooting.
No. That 5-0 debacle aside, I think we match up very well.
Right. I have
either
to say,
team.
Right.
All right.
The way the Islanders – right, Matt. And you know something? The way the Islanders have played against Tampa, against Washington, against your Rangers, those three games in a row, they could beat anybody the way they played anybody in the NHL. Grice has been standing on his head. And you know what? Bring on Pittsburgh. You know why? Because 2013 is payback time. Plus, Murray's out. They're going with the
you
third.
Don't know if he's out.
Well, he got hurt. He got hurt the other day, and he's not healthy.
Not for precautions. That's okay. Fine.
We've been playing with a third. We've been playing with a fourth string goal.
Right, so you're saying that, so? Okay, so we're saying
that beat Washington.
So three of you saying that you would rather play the you would rather play Pittsburgh.
Let the chips fall.
Hold on.
I'm saying let the chips fall.
Yeah, you're a liar.
I'm not.
I hope you can live with yourself being a liar. You're telling me you'd rather play Pittsburgh and then Washington rather than play Florida and the winner of the Tampa-Detroit series.
If
the three of you are telling me that, then I'm telling the three of you, three liars. Right,
that obviously yeah. on paper, that seems like the better path to go. Right.
Let's be factual. I don't like
backdoor.
It is the better path of opportunity.
So. But I will say this, though. Florida... With Longo could stand that he could stand on his
I'm
head.
I'm not saying
win a series.
That Florida can't win a series. What I'm saying
of course
is the
they
opportunity
can. They
that's in front of you.
No.
Is better to cross over as the
right,
wild card.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Yes. Right.
I'm not saying you should be sitting here stuck in a position rooting against your team or rooting for them to lose to get the better slot. But unfortunately, because of the way the NHL structured the playoffs for this particular season, that's what you're doing.
Well, it's also because you're going to play two tough teams back to back. Washington's the best team in hockey. That's the second round. And you're playing Pittsburgh.
I mean, all I'm saying
the last
is,
month.
How can I possibly sit here and readily admit that I would rather see the Rangers finish in fourth and cross over as the wild card than have to sit in third? And the three of you were telling me, for a team that hasn't won a playoff series in over two decades, that you'd rather play Pittsburgh than play Florida.
No,
that makes sense.
I said let the chips fall. I don't care who we play.
It's two separate discussions. John, I understand what you're saying before. The players, they go out and they play the games and they compete. I'm talking about from an objective standpoint, sitting back as a fan in what you want to line up for yourselves in terms of playoff possibilities leading to the semifinals where ideally – and it may not happen. Maybe Washington does get upset. That's been their Achilles heel since Ovechkin's been there.
Right.
They've never been past the second round with him.
Right.
Right.
But I would be in shock if they lost in the first round.
We all have been watching hockey for a long time. And we all know why it's called the second season.
Right.
Because quite often the regular season, as nice as it is to position yourself somewhere in your playoff seating, really – does not necessarily mean anything.
No.
You can come across the hot goaltender right. come out of nowhere. Look who's gone on in the past with Cam Ward or J.S. Jaguar, names that have really been mediocre the rest of their career.
Halak
even got hot the 1 year.
Right, with Montreal.
And
that was the year when Washington had 54 wins.
Yeah.
And Halak pulled the magic trick and upset them in the first round.
Even look back to your favorite year as a Ranger fan, that 79 series when the Islanders won the President's Cup. The best team coming out of the regular season in hockey, and what happens to them in the playoffs that year?
Right.
Well, they lost in the semifinals.
Yeah.
But unlike this year, and the way they do the playoff structure, this is the third year of this structure. Back then in '79, that was a proper structuring in the playoffs. It was literally 1 through 16. You lined them up in order of their exact finish in the league in terms of points, and you matched up 1 versus 16, 2 versus 15, and on down the line. So when the Rangers had to play the Islanders in the semifinals, that's exactly where they matched up. The Rangers were the worst team remaining, point-wise, you know?
Right.
And Boston played Montreal on the other side.
I get you.
What you have is you don't have that here, and so you're sitting here, and whether you're me or yourself, if whichever guy leaves this room tonight with their team in fourth place, you're going to feel a little better about the situation that you're in. That's just you got
to. You're
going to
feel better.
Way to feel.
I agree.
Yeah, you're
going to
feel better, but Florida is not going to be a piece of cake.
No.
So it doesn't matter.
No, they won't.
But
struggle against them.
I do agree.
Right, you're right.
I do agree.
That's my feeling.
That it's the after we get past Florida, playing Tampa or Detroit, that winner of that is going to be easier, I would believe, than playing Washington.
Of course, it's easier. Tampa Bay lost Stamkos for the year.
Yeah. And they
lost Stroman to a broken leg against your team. And now Tyler Johnson got hurt last night.
Yep.
I mean,
that
hurts them as a team. Those are three of their top players.
Right.
And Detroit is not the Detroit of old. They barely made it into the playoffs. And they're, one of their stars is getting ready to leave and go back to Russia after this season.
And Jimmy Howard has not been the goaltender.
No. They've
been
struggling going back and forth with him and Peter Mrazek.
Mrazek is sort of
so it's just it's just the way it falls. So, folks out there, listen, this is how the show's going to go tonight. The first hour, it's mostly Islander and Ranger talk. sprinkled in with your phone calls at 631-888-8811. In the second hour, I promised and I delivered, we will have a guest beat reporter from each team. After 9 o'clock break, we will have Rick Carpinello of Rangers Report. He'll join us for a little Rangers talk and break down what they need to do on their path in this postseason. And then after 9:30 break, we'll have Scott Charles, editor-in-chief of Islanders Insight, and he'll give us the lowdown on the Islanders. And at 9:30, maybe we'll know exactly who's playing who.
Right. Well,
maybe before. We'll see. But right now, like I said, Islander Ranger talk, your calls, and the first caller tonight is Rich from Manhattan, the staple member of the Sports Talk 440 group. Rich, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Staple. I'm the remote co-host.
A lot of guys like be remote co-hosts, but we give you top billing. You're a loyal listener. So what's going on? What's on your mind?
Before the year began, I said the Islanders would finish with 102 points, and they'd make the Final Four.
Yes, you did.
I'm not willing to say they'll make the Final Four unless they lose this game.
Exactly.
Because there's no way in hell they're going to beat Pittsburgh. None.
Well,
this is so surprising without Malkin that they have not gone down in class. That is the big surprise.
Well,
it's impressive, right? But you know what? Last year the Rangers lost the Hall of Fame goalie for a long stretch, and they went like 18-2-4 without him. So I give a lot of credit to Pittsburgh. I give a lot of credit to Mike Sullivan coming in, taking over as coach, because before that they played good team defense the whole year, but they upped it in terms of offensive production. I give a lot of credit to Sidney Crosby, who, like John Tavares, turned on
up
the point production, and so did Chris Letang. That guy, for all the punishment and injuries he goes through, Chris Letang, he may not be the best defenseman because a guy named Drew Doughty resides out in L.A., but he is right up there with him and Eric Carlson. Chris Letang, as tough as they come in, he takes as much as he gives, right?
Yep. I agree.
And Kessel has played really good.
Yeah.
Kessel was kind of non-existent for a good portion of the season. He put some points in there, but he really wasn't putting up what he was brought there to do. As of recent weeks, he did step up his game, and maybe that's because of Crosby, much as I hate to admit it. Crosby has stepped up as well in filling that void. And like you said, you got to give credit to Sullivan as a new coach in that team for weathering a storm and losing really the top player in that team, which is Geno Malkin.
Early in the year, we were all wondering what was wrong with Crosby. Is this a Lou Gehrig slump? That's hype. That's how bad it was.
Right.
But he's been amazing.
He winds up averaging over a point per game for the year.
Now, before the season began, I did pick Anaheim to beat Tampa in the finals. Now, obviously, Tampa's not going to make it.
Yeah, the injuries are just debilitating. It really is.
But the Ducks, what they did after their poor start.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
To get to the point that they're at. It's amazing.
It really is. I mean, there's another team, Rich. For 3 months, they couldn't score a goal. And after the new year, starting in January sometime, I mean, they've been one of the hottest teams. Great penalty kill unit.
Right.
Great power play unit. And they have gotten a ton from Corey Perry coming down the stretch. That guy has been playing.
Yeah.
Along the lines of what you're talking about with John Tavares and with Sidney Crosby, right?
When they traded Hagelin, that worked for both teams.
Yeah,
that
I agree.
Was the point where it changed. For whatever reason, Getzlaf was not good early in the year. He was doing back passes that the other team took down the ice for winning goals in overtime.
Right.
It was awful. No one could figure out what he was doing early in the year. Maybe he was hurt, whatever. But they stepped it up. I still think that they can win. And the Flyers have scored. It's a good thing.
Odd Flyers.
Oh, Flyers scored.
I can't believe three straight games I'm rooting against my team.
Now,
Who scored?
I think it's Raffle.
Now, is Gibson in, or do they still keep Greyson?
I just put it on a few minutes ago because I just want to know the result. I really didn't want to watch, but I figured if I'm calling, I better watch.
All right, so the Flyers have a 3-2 lead for everybody out there.
I was kind of surprised they started Greyson.
Nobody's playing anybody. They just wanted to give him a first period warm-up.
Right. That's fine.
Yeah. Now he's out, and now they got all these kids in there now, which rightfully they should be doing anyway.
Now, I did pick Tavares to win the MVP at the beginning of the year. It ain't happening.
Right.
No.
I picked Hedman to be the defenseman of the year. Didn't happen.
He was playing pretty good for a while there, though,
Hedman. The top goalie.
Who was the top goalie?
I picked Lundqvist before the year.
All right.
Because before the year, I had the Rangers with 107 and the Caps with 103. I thought the Rangers would I thought they'd ride him. The team that really surprised me that I didn't think would be very good was Dallas.
Yeah.
And they did it without Sagan for a good period of time. But Spetz has been very good for them.
Okay, Rich, I want to get down to the Islanders for a minute there.
Yeah.
You have to admit, Cappy.
He's not that good.
But you know what? He had 40-plus wins back-to-back. Team had 100 points the last 2 years. And he really look at the first line they had out there. I mean, now that thank God Tavares is playing with a number one line in the NHL right now. That's why
today,
he's had this all the scoring.
Point season is really 90 because you get the extra point for a loss.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to take away those points, the season standing point things.
Yeah, but that would
they're,
be. Well, then you're telling me you don't think much of your team then.
The 1980s, when there's no overtime before 1981 or 82.
You're being unfair to the head coach. And
I don't think he's a very good game coach.
That's fine. Well, then your team's not going anywhere.
Know, Rich,
and if they go out in the first round of Florida, maybe I get my wish and I get a new coach.
But, Rich, what is it?
You're not going to get a new coach because your team, your organization is not willing to pay a guy $8 million a year.
Of course they're not willing to pay. That's why he's got 200 wins because he works cheap and they keep him.
Right. He's the lowest paid coach in the league.
How long is it taking to get the 200 wins?
But it isn't him, though, Rich. It's the whole organization. Who's going to do a better job than what he did, than what he has? All I'm saying is I'm looking at the big picture of the whole thing.
Once the new owners come in, we get rid of the main black bear regime.
You know what? This is why I can't stand down on the fans, Rich. You know what? You got a superstar, a fourth line, and two defensemen. And you're telling me the coach hasn't done a good job?
I don't agree
with
that.
Then I'm telling you goodbye tonight. That's
it.
Cut him off.
He might be a good prep coach. I don't think...
There you go. Because that's it. I don't want to hear about it. You can't sit here and tell me how good the Islanders are, how they swept the Rangers, and they're going to go through the first round and not tell me that the coach has done a good job.
I agree.
And you sit there and you let him say whatever he wants.
I'm agreeing.
So you're a total failure also.
I'm agreeing that I'm
the coach has done a great job with that roster. They added nothing this year.
That's why.
Nothing. Anders Lou took a step back. Nobody... You know what?
That's the point.
Guys who want to knock the coach.
That's the point that me and John are trying to make is that, you know, he's putting down Capuano, and you got to look at what he's had and, you know, two seasons in a row. I think he's a better coach than he gets a lot of credit for.
It's the ownership. It's a lot of things they don't want to bring in. They didn't do much when the trade deadline
came.
And that's
a fact, too. I think the ownership pulled the rug out of them on a couple of times with some of the deals that they made.
Right.
You had a great chemistry. I don't care what it looks like on paper and numbers-wise. Whatever it was, you had a great chemistry with Matt Molson and Tavares a few years ago.
Right.
And out of the clear blue sky, Molson's traded for Thomas Vanek, who may be overall a better hockey player, maybe a better offensive player, but it didn't work. But the dynamic didn't work. It didn't fit. And he gave up a lot to lose something that was very effective and working. It kind of upset the chemistry and makeup of the team. And he weathered that. Now you go into this season. Again, Tavares has got to be scratching his head because what are you getting me to play with? You
know, right.
You're saying, John, you mentioned before, they finally got top line on. They really don't have a legitimate top line around because the guys they're putting up there with them, and it's not a knock on Franzi or these other guys, they're solid, solid plays, but should they be on the line up there with a guy of Tavares' caliber?
But but those two guys are the best two on the team.
Oh, yeah. Best options.
So, if you're going to have Tavares, who's a superstar, okay, top eight player in the world, okay, you're going to put him with Ryan Strome, who shouldn't even be in the league, and Bailey, and that's the end of it.
That's absurd.
Or you got a Poso, who's having another good year, and you're going to have Franz, who's always had
That's just going to be interesting to see is who's going to step up and fill Anders Lee's role, putting himself in front of the net and taking abuse and not getting moved from the front of the net, because all for the last how many weeks I watched that other guy just get pushed over anytime he stood in front of the net.
Right.
You know, and
Bailey was getting pushed out of the way.
All over
but
the
I, will, I will say
so
this
I
about
like
Molson. Look, I love Molson too. We all love Molson. All Islander fans loved him. I don't know what you were thinking. Vanek is a totally different caliber player. Yeah. Molson's only got 8 goals this year, and he scored the other night.
Look at the team he's playing.
They had
a chance to. If Vanek wanted, which is what my thing was, Snow should have figured out. Hey, you're going to stay. I'll make the deal because he gave up picks and this and that with him. Then you make the deal, but it didn't work out. He left. But if Vanek stays here. That's a good deal in the long run.
And they offered him more money.
They offered him more money
than Minnesota did, and he went to Minnesota.
Because he wanted to go to Minnesota. He went to college there. His wife's from there, right. And that's it.
There's got to be something wrong when your organization can't add marquee players because they want to play somewhere else.
Because they are cheap. They want to try to save money. Because Wang lost so much money. What is it, July 1st, and he's gone.
I think it's that. I think the fact the team was in such uncertain waters the last 2 years. But what was going on with the home ice and ultimately making this move into Brooklyn. And we see it in all the other New York sports. How many guys come to a New York team, be it in baseball or basketball or one of the football teams, and if for whatever reason they can't
a lot of pressure.
Handle the pressure of playing right. in a New York market, and they go someplace else and they flourish.
I saw something in the newspaper today. They were saying that the Islanders have an option to opt out of that Brooklyn thing because there's viewed blocks. Some of the seats have obstructed views, and the ice is horrible. Even Oposo's mentioned it in the last 2 weeks. He said the ice was horrible again. They're supposed to bring this specialist in, and they're supposed to do better. The ice pucks are bouncing around.
I see the logo back up on the turnpike. I'm not buying into any of these autographs. It's all speculation.
I know. It's all speculation. Yeah. But if they're going to build the Coliseum again, we'll put it out in Suffolk with us.
I heard they were going to add another 3,500 something seats to whatever plan they have with the Coliseum.
Well, that's a smart thing to do.
Bring it back up to size.
That would be right. Thank you. That would be a smart move to do. Do you agree?
I agree. I absolutely.
I think
agree.
I just paid the Rangers off too for the rights for them to
I
come.
I think the people should have just voted for it and let them knock everything down
and
build.
That's right.
Build
here's the thing. There you go. Derek.
Should have been approved even before it got to the vote.
Right.
You know what happened? I think the Islanders weren't playing well, and a lot of people.
Oh, come
like,
on, the team leaves, and now all of a sudden everybody.
Well,
like
no,
that.
But it's
they
not even had
it and built a new stadium right where the old one is. Derek, it would have been perfect.
Yeah. They had nothing to do with. I live in Suffolk County. John lives in Suffolk County. We had
Nassau
no
County
vote.
People voted.
We had no vote. It was a Nassau County vote.
And
so.
The thing
but
was, it
you
was
keep forgetting the timeline and the issue, though. It didn't need to be a taxpayer vote. They were blocking Wang's proposal and his deals all along. That was their last-ditch effort, was to try and get a taxpayer vote.
Right,
done.
And then they got the unions to basically trash-talk it and that it was going to lose money and, you know, that was going to be – which was absolutely ridiculous.
And they made it an Islander issue, and it really shouldn't be because they really – you have 41 home games plus whatever
– And then a lot of other events.
And a lot of other events that you have that you should have in there. And that's the issue that they should have been pushing, not to make it strictly an Islander issue because all these arenas are multi-use arenas except – the Barclays Center, which was designed solely for basketball, and then they shoehorned a rink in it.
Right. That's exactly what they did. Perfect. They shoehorned a rink in it. I like that. Perfect. That's what they did. All right. So, there you go.
I mean, Okposo might leave the team after this year, right?
That's the big thing.
But he's had a nice season. He's more of a playmaker. He only had 20 goals or so.
But he's had 42 assists.
You know, Franz Nielsen's had a good season. But do I really look at those guys like they went above and beyond production-wise? Not really. I think that's what Okposo is supposed to do. I'm telling you, this team, they don't have a lot of playoff winning experience.
No.
Outside of Letty and Boychuk, and if Halak's back in net, yeah, I'll say that he's experienced carrying a team on his back. But nobody else has really won.
No.
They've been a significant part in winning. They are one superstar, a solid fourth line, and two defensemen. That's what the Islanders are.
Right.
So you have to give the coach a lot of credit for getting the absolute most out of this team.
I agree with you.
They're one of the top penalty kill units. They played a lot better team defense than anybody would have expected this year.
Well, here's the other problem going to the playoffs now, and it goes to the whole secret society that is hockey injuries.
Right.
Is who's going to be available for us? Is Hamonic out right now with the
so-called
knee. Lower body injury?
So,
is he going to be back and be able to play? Because, you know, he is a top...
Right, defensive.
So he's proven himself
in the playoffs.
What happened last year?
All right, so as Island defense, you don't know if he's coming back.
No, nobody knows.
And that could have been the reason why we lost to Washington last year too.
And look at a guy like Thomas Hickey. I think he's one of the best puck handling defensemen that we've had in a long time.
Underrated.
Very solid guy, but can he match up and last in a big physical series? And it showed last year in the Capitals series. You know, he took a lot of punishment that series. Because he's small as stature. He's a phenomenal hockey player. He can handle the puck. He can move with the best of them. But in a big time physical series like that, with a powerful team like the Caps, you know, is he gonna last?
You know, you got Nicky Leddy and Boychuk, right? They're two studs. They're playing. Leddy's playing like 29 minutes a game right now, and it's a lot. And was that going to wear him down later? As deep we go into the playoffs,
right.
And is he going to be able to stop these guys?
Right, and then you got these young kids. Little... You know, you don't know, Pulock. You know, Pollock and you know, Mayfield and Adam Pellick.
Mayfield stepped in last year in a Capital series and played phenomenally.
Right.
He's a big – he plays a big physical game, and I think he'll fit in very nicely if he needs to step in that role again. He really surprised me when he came into those games late. Whereas Reinhardt, they kind of threw the wolves, and he was a wasted roster spot that one game because he seemed lost out there.
Right.
And now he's no longer on the team. But Mayfield played very well. I don't know why he didn't see more time this season.
I don't
know.
And
we stuck with Brian Schrake because Brian Schrake played great in the playoffs last year.
Right.
And – he never. It didn't seem to grow from that this season.
No.
And that's part of one of the things I will point at the coaching staff is in play development. Where is it getting lost in, and why are we staying with these guys and maybe not bringing in? They sent Strome down to the minors to send a message. Why don't we do that with Straight and bring up Pulock and Mayfield? We had guys
right.
in the background. You had Pellick that came up and he got hurt and we never saw him other than those first couple of games.
Well, his excuse was when I heard it on an interview why Straight was playing when he brought Pulock up, then he sat him down for three or four games, and his excuse was his reason for doing this was Straight had more experience and down the stretch than they wanted to give him. But what I was saying is play Pulock, give him the experience so when he gets into the play, he's a young stud. He's got a 100 and something mile an hour slap shot. And he's been playing great defense.
I'll say this about Capuano, and maybe this was his epiphany moment. After that 5-0 debacle against the Penguins, did you recall watching his press conference? When they've lost games before, he never really put it on the players.
He
never
finally
put it back
called
in
guys
finally
out.
Called, he didn't call him out by name. Right?
No,
you know exactly what I'm talking about. He put it out there that our secondary players need to step up
right.
in their role.
Right.
And it took how many years before you finally expect him to say that? Because he would never do that publicly as a coach. I guess finally he reached that moment where he needed to do that, and I guess it worked because look what they did, how they bounced back after
right.
Well, Brock was one of the guys.
Yeah.
And look, he ended up scoring that next game.
Yeah.
Right.
He had 26 people. People just overlooked the fact that he had 26 goals. And he's going to be a guy who's going to score 30-plus goals.
Yeah. You know what it was? You know what it was with that, John? He had a he did fantastic at the beginning of the year. Then he just went disappeared.
Right.
He just disappeared.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Brock could be the guy. He's a big kid. He's not as big as – he's not as stocky as Lee. But he could be the guy that's in the front. You need a big body in the front.
Right.
And you're sitting here bored out of your mind looking at me.
I'm just listening. I'm letting you guys talk. It's Islander time
it's,
right
it's
now.
It's interesting. Because you're trying to deface what's going on here.
No, I'm giving you guys time to talk.
And you're still wondering why we swept you?
No. Well, let me ask you a question. Who's the better team, the Minnesota Wild or the Chicago Blackhawks?
Blackhawks.
Blackhawks.
Okay. Well, the Wild swept them 5 games this year.
Okay.
So I really don't care. That your team swept mine, on top of the fact that we're not playing you anyway.
I agree with you on that, Derek.
So what are you talking about?
No, I know.
It's a fun fan thing. That
the Islanders won 7 of the last 9 meetings with the Rangers. I don't really care.
Okay.
Now, if you want to ask me, did I get annoyed the first 3 times the Rangers lost to them this year? Yeah. The last time, got to be honest with you, I really didn't care. After the Rangers lost to Carolina on the road last week, and then Buffalo at home last Saturday, and pretty much squandered a shot
at
second place at home ice, it didn't matter to me at that point.
Are you worried about your King and Net that he might be a little shaky?
No, I'm not worried about
it. I don't think.
Because he's the reason why you're losing. It's your King's.
No, I don't know about that. No, this year?
Yeah.
No,
the last.
There's been a lot of poor decision making defensively on the Rangers squad, both from the forwards in their defensive assignments and defensively as a crew of 6. Past years, the Rangers were defined on having not necessarily one of the top defensemen in the league, but a great crew of 6 defensemen. Balanced in their performance and their decision-making. This year, Rangers' biggest problems, and we talked about it previous shows, lack of 60-minute team effort and bad, bad decision-making, especially late in game. They gave up a lot of goals late in games, squandered a lot of points. This Ranger team should have been probably 7 or 8 points ahead of Pittsburgh right now, and they're not because of decisions that they made that cost them points, and it started back in November, a week before Thanksgiving in a game down in Tampa. They were involved in a game, 1-1. They had a power play at the end of regulation. And between Stepan and McDonough, they botched up a pass to set up on the power play. And all of a sudden, you know, Tampa's going the other way, a short-handed goal. And instead of getting the guaranteed point and going overtime, they came out of it with nothing.
Right.
And then a week later, they lost the game to Boston. They were winning inside the last 4 minutes. They gave up 2 goals. Not only did they not get over them, they lost both points again. And that kind of stuff went on for the better part of 4 months. And the Rangers are going to – and we'll talk about this more in the next half hour. But the Rangers, unlike the Islanders, Because the Islanders are a young, proven, unproven team that needs to win in the playoffs. But the Rangers are a team, based on what they did this year, nice record, but kind of camouflages what really went on. They have to rely on their playoff winning experience. And they have to ride that and get the right performance from the right guys, which we'll talk about after the break. And they have to just carry that confidence and go win games. Because for them, it's about all or nothing. It's not about winning one round. Which, despite what you want to think, if the Islanders win a round and then lose, it's going to be looked at as a success.
Yeah, right. I agree 1,000%.
The Rangers are not in that position.
No, because the Rangers have to win it all, because it's going to become a lot harder after this season for them to get to that point.
I mean, on paper, if you break down both our teams and who's going to play, you know, Florida, who's going to play Pittsburgh, if you break down the Rangers and the Islanders, the Rangers, player for player, have better players than we have. And that's why Cappy, to me, gets a boost. Because he's doing a great job with less.
You know, and just before the break, what you said about injuries with Hamonic last year and those 11 shots you had in Game 7, let me just be the first to say, I don't want to hear anything about injuries, because I didn't bring up the range of injuries when they choked twice at home in Game 5 and Game 7.
That was the context in which we mentioned injuries.
He talked about Hamonic losing Game 7.
I said the series.
You said the series.
It would have made a difference in the series.
I said the series, not Game 7.
Game 7.
I think it would have.
Yeah, it would have. Game 7. Oh, yeah.
They missed him the whole series.
They missed him the whole series.
Because you don't know if he didn't get through Game 7 then.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe one or two of those close games, Hamonic may be making a difference in one of those games.
He did
that in the Pittsburgh series the year before.
Okay. And they lost that one too, right?
They did lose that one too, but you know what?
But they were a younger team back then.
All right.
And they don't have what they have now.
Okay.
More experience.
I'll have to chew on that.
They have more experience in the playoffs now.
That's great. Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about New York's beloved team, the Blue Shirts. Back after this.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. Be sure and visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Hey, fantasy sports fans. DraftPot has an exclusive offer for Sports Talk 1240 listeners. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240. And DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. That's right. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240. And DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. What are you waiting for? Do it now.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gust Buster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your GustBuster today.
Whether you're a couple enjoying a romantic meal for two, a family wanting to dine in a relaxed and friendly setting, or a larger party wanting to celebrate a special occasion, Miller Place Pastoria always combines a warm welcome with the finest contemporary Italian cuisine and wines. Also serving up Long Island's favorite pizza. We're located right on Route 25A in Miller Place. Come visit us today and check us out online at mppastoria.com.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
All right, we're back. Sports Talk 1240 with Sweeney and the Waz on a Sunday night, getting ready for the playoffs in the NHL starting up Wednesday night. And it's going to be fun because both teams in the New York area are in it, one from Brooklyn and New York's favorite team, the New York Rangers. But unfortunately
according to who, they're the favorite team.
According to the man that has the word.
According to you.
The way on the street is New York's team.
Okay.
The blue shirts.
Listen to me.
They say the same thing about the Knicks, too. What have the Knicks done for you lately?
Listen.
I'm not a Knicks fan. I don't have to worry about that.
Can I just tell you something? And I'm going to tell you something. Yeah. They're always going to be the New York Islanders.
Are they?
To me. Yeah. You try to try that little
They're not the Brooklyn Islanders
stuff.
Yet?
No.
All right.
And Brooklyn always, is not the Long Island anyway.
They're not the Quebec Islanders yet?
That won't ever happen.
All right. Since there's so many Islanders here, and they do reside on they don't reside on Long Island, but... We'll stick with the Islander theme here. We'll take the next call. We got Ralph from Staten Island. I don't know why. He's an Islander fan. He lives in New York Ranger country. What's going on, Ralph?
Yeah. Hey, what's up there, guys?
Ralphie, what's up?
What's going on?
What's happening?
How
are you? Answer to that question is I really don't like teams that have streaks like that. Even though they're like one of the original teams. I like teams that win, you know, dynasties and stuff like that, you know, 19 straight playoff series. Not teams that promise their fans every year and not happen.
Right. Well, maybe you should get in the time machine and go back to the 80s if you want that dynasty.
No time machine. I'm talking one in the last 75.
No, you said that you like dynasties. Didn't you say that?
They're a dynasty. Like,
oh. Didn't you say you like teams that win?
Well, let me ask you a question. Has the Rangers ever had a dynasty?
No, when they first came into the league in 1926.
How successful were the Rangers with only six teams in the league? Can you answer that question?
They were very successful when they
with
first
only,
came
with only six teams in the league? How successful were they?
They won three Stanley Cups in their first 14 years.
Okay. When there was only six teams in the league, how'd they do?
Right. Oh, with the original six?
Yeah, with the original six era, how'd the Rangers do?
They did nothing.
Thank you.
They lost in the Stanley Cup in 1950.
Thank you. That's all I need to know. Thank you.
But that 25-year period, no Stanley Cup.
I'm just trying to say that. How come the Boston Bruins and the Chicago Blackhawks have been winning recently and the Rangers can't win one?
I don't know. Because they failed in the end? Because they lost the Stanley Cup.
Ralph.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Really.
Well, you better figure it out pretty soon.
There's Rangers fans around, you know, and there's teams that lose, but...
Well, you must be tortured out there in Staten Island, Ralph, because there's all Ranger fans living around you. You must be really tortured. You sound like a bitter, tortured soul,
Ralph.
You sound really bitter.
Yeah, Ralph.
Ralphie, who are you looking forward to playing in the playoffs now?
To be honest with you, it's really sad. I'd rather play Florida.
At least he's being honest. I'll give you that, Ralph. You know what? I like you a little bit more now.
Listen, I'm not saying nothing about the Rangers out there, but I can understand. I'm a Mets fan, and I've been through years of suffering.
So have I.
That's part of being a diehard fan.
I'm a fan. I love them.
It's part of being a Jet fan as well.
That's right.
It's the way it goes. It's part of being a diehard fan.
Yeah, exactly. And I can understand Ranger fans. You're a diehard fan. You go with them. You hold.
That's right.
That's it.
That's right. It's not my fault that your team built a great organization in the early years of the franchise. Amazing. A solid foundation. Legendary coach. The GM through the draft. Nothing but winning. Even before they won the cup, they were a winning team.
Yes.
They built a great foundation and a strong organization, a model for NHL franchises.
Right, it was a
and
winning
unfortunately,
culture.
Unfortunately,
are we talking about the New Jersey Devils now?
No, but unfortunately for you.
You just sound like you define the New Jersey Devils.
No, unfortunately for you guys, as Islander fans, it's a tale of two teams within one franchise.
Right.
Because the last 20 years has been totally unlike
Absolutely.
The first 20. That is not my fault. So you can pick
yes,
on
it
my
is.
Team.
It is your
you can pick
fault.
On my team for only winning one cup in 76 years, but for me, that was like the equivalent of 10 Stanley Cups because I never thought I'd see one. So I came at it as a diehard fan from a totally different perspective.
Yeah. And you know what it is, too? The Islanders only came up in 72.
Yeah.
So they're not a team from 1926 or anything like that. That's true.
No, but they had everything they needed. It was in place. When Torrey left, when Arbor left, it was in place.
Yep.
It's not my fault that a con artist almost bought your team.
No.
And it's not my
come
fault.
On.
It's not. Okay, hold on. Okay, hold it's on. Not my fault.
Right.
It's not your fault as a fan either, but it's not my fault that the other guy that was partners with Wong wound up getting locked up and thrown in prison. Who's that guy? Sanjay something? Whatever
Kumar,
his name was?
Kumar.
Okay, so
Kumar, right.
There's a lot of things that have gone bad. In addition to guys like Mike Milbury, you heard my guest last show.
Oh, I hate that guy.
John?
Yes.
You were there when Kevin Miller was talking about Mike Milbury. Right.
We all know he put the franchise 10 years in the hole.
Yeah.
The guy's a moron, okay?
And he's an analyst.
He's an analyst now.
And now you may be faced with...
He's an embarrassment as an analyst. I don't know how he's
you know what?
And this might be a storyline for you guys, but hold on. But now as fans, there's three guys here and you on the phone, the four of you as fans might be faced with the proposition of facing the Panthers and a goaltender, then your old GM traded so he could draft Rick Pietro.
Yes.
Right. So Luongo will certainly have
who
something.
Who are now also stuck with as an analyst because they're still paying him money from that absurd contract they gave
him. He has the Bobby Bonilla contract.
Yeah.
A lifetime guaranteed money.
Yeah. Bobby Bonilla on the Mets.
So Luongo's going to come in with, I'm sure, a little fire in his belly, even more so, because he's a borderline Hall of Fame
goalie. I agree.
And he's not going to stay in the cup. He had a chance with Vancouver. He's going to be looking for something.
That's why I said, whatever, let the chips fall, whatever it is, it is. Because he might stand on his head and win the whole series. He could do. He could easily do it.
And I think that Panther team is dangerous because you have all those young players that have seemed to rally around in ages.
Exactly.
Yarmir Yager,
yeah.
Who is still amazing what that guy puts up.
Yeah.
And he wants to play again next season.
He wants to play to his 50. He still can. I can't see why he wouldn't.
Hey, look, and then, you know, Pittsburgh got the goaltending problem right now. That kid Murray got hurt yesterday. We don't know what the status is on that whole deal. And anything can happen with Pittsburgh. But, you know, whatever happens, happens, and let it roll.
All right, so at the end of the second period, the Flyers lead the Islanders 3-2.
3-2.
And early in the second period, the Ducks and Capitals are still scoreless.
In their game.
Ralph,
last week you asked me a question about the Islander dynasty. And how many consecutive playoff series they won. And I said 19.
Right.
Right? Now, I asked you a question, and you constantly ignored it, so I'm going to ask you again.
Yes.
How many consecutive playoff series have the Islanders lost?
They haven't won a playoff series in a while, yeah.
22 years.
Give me on that
one. How many series have they lost consecutively?
I'll answer it for them.
You didn't do your homework, see?
This is why I find it unfair.
2, 3. That's right.
Eight.
They have lost eight consecutive playoff series.
Eight.
And, Ralph, that is my... Okay. That's just one of many examples of the difference between the Islanders from 72 to 93 and 93 to 2016.
Yeah, what,
and so it's imperative, just like Washington has a monkey on their back about getting past the second round, the Islanders do have a monkey on their back.
I agree.
In terms of just winning
the playoffs. I agree with you.
So,
and we have to win...
That.
I just want you guys to chew on that for a while the way you make me chew on one cup in 76 years.
Yeah, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead,
Go ahead. The thing with, forget about the Islanders right now, but I tell you one thing. I think that Pittsburgh's dangerous because they got speed. They got that line going with them with the former Ranger, Hagelin.
Carl Hagelin's a very speedy guy, very good penalty killer, and he'll get you. He'll produce
good
points.
He's a very good player.
They turned it around when they got him.
Once
they got Hagelin in that deal, they started
clutch
to win.
Right. Performer, the overtime game winner.
It's amazing what they're doing. We brought that up before, but it is amazing what they're doing.
Exactly.
He's done a lot. He's done a lot for Phil Kessel's production playing with him.
Kessel stepped it up too. Now,
yeah. No, so
considering you're probably losing.
They're a hard-working team. Great defensive team this year in terms of goals against.
Top 10 players in the league.
And they're going to be a handful. If the Rangers wind up playing Pittsburgh, they'll be a handful. But I'm not worried. I'm not scared of Pittsburgh. If that's what you're asking me. I'm not.
Right. You know what it is? So who has the home field advantage?
No, Pittsburgh has second place. They're going to be starting
home,
in Pittsburgh.
And so is Florida, Ralph.
Yeah, but, you know, the playoffs are a different story.
Yeah, Florida
has
home
season,
field.
Like Matt said earlier. It's a new season.
I just want to tell you this.
Home ice really means only something in a game
set. To me, it means more. Derek said it doesn't. But I will say this. The Islanders against the Florida Panthers this year are 1-1-1 against Pittsburgh. They are 1-2-1 this year.
They actually had that big comeback against Florida where they were losing like 3-0.
And they came back, and that's the game they won. What happened was Cappy didn't even go into the room after the second period. Tavares took the team, said what it had to say, came out, boom, and they ended up playing that game.
And you ridiculed the coach for not going to the room for that. You know that, right? Originally?
I did.
So I told you something about coaching and why it was a good move?
And here's the thing. This is like another thing that goes back to Capuano. It's like people are always hammering on him and how the team has not played well, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
As a coach, there's a certain point. There's only so much you can do before the onus falls on the players who take the ice. And, you know, like Derek pointed out, they made no moves, really, to bring anybody in. So he's got this group of guys, and they've got 100 points right now. But what more could he do to motivate the team? You know, it gets to a point where these guys have to bring it upon themselves. And I think that may have happened, too, after that Pittsburgh 5-0 drubbery. That Tavares, the thing I read someplace was that Tavares, for one of the first times, actually went off on the guys in the locker room.
Yeah.
which is something right. he never does.
Yeah. He's, no, he's more quiet and reserved. Absolutely. Right.
And Cappy did it, too. The coach, Capuano, did the same thing, too. He took a couple of guys. He said, you better get your stuff
your
together.
Together,
your rest together, and let's get going here. And it ended up working because Brock ended up scoring a goal in the next game, and they ended up winning. They went on that little run. They beat Tampa. They beat Washington. They beat the Rangers.
And that's something that Matt said before we came on the air. It's you know, what it's going to come down to is which Islander team are we going to see in the playoffs? You know, do we see that Islander team that played, you know, against Tampa Bay, Washington, and the Rangers? Or are we going to see that Islander team that comes out with lackluster, you know, 20-30 minute efforts and then, you know, basically coast through the rest of the game?
Right.
If they come out like that, it doesn't matter who they play, Florida or Pittsburgh, it's going to be a first round exit.
It'll be all over, right.
No, but I think Greiss now all of a sudden, in the beginning, he was the backup. Then Halak went out, he had to get some things to his head. This happens to people. Now, because he was the starter, and maybe he was having a lot of pressure on himself. Now he realizes he's the starter, and he starts playing a lot better. And he did. He won that Ranger game.
Oops.
He won that Ranger game, and the team.
Okay.
He won that Ranger game, and then they ended up stepping up against, you know, those Washington, Tampa. They played well.
We had to hang up on Ralph because he had another important call coming in. Probably from a disgruntled Ranger fan that is trash my team. But thanks for the call, Ralph. You know, the one thing I did notice, like, I don't watch every game like you guys involving the Islanders, but the one thing I noticed from afar, as opposed to the previous 2 years, and the one thing I would give credit to the Islanders going into the playoffs is, for one, they didn't, not that they totally collapsed, but they certainly went in a different direction the last couple of months last year.
Yes.
And the last couple of years before this season, they did have a tendency to lose third period leads,
right,
and to lose games where they were in position. Especially last year, you talked about home ice. I mean, they blew home ice.
They
just with overtime
the last game of the season. They had the lead against Columbus and ended up losing. I was at that game.
So was I.
So I just personally, from watching from afar and following some of their games, and I think the Washington game this past week is the best bit of evidence. This year alone, I've seen the Islanders come back from more deficits and win games.
Yeah.
Whether it was, and I thought the Washington win, where they came back and won off them, I don't care what you say. You can say whatever you want about
it. That was a big game.
That was a bigger win than the one against the Rangers.
No, it was.
Absolutely a big game.
And the win against Florida. That win the Islanders had, they were down 3-0, came back. I forget what the stat was, but it was the first time they did that since, like, the early 80s with that Stanley Cup team. Or maybe the early 90s, where they came back from a three-goal deficit.
I think it was in the last
12 minutes of a game and won in regulation or something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, like back-to-back 100-point seasons, first time since the early 80s. Same thing with the coach winning 45-plus game back-to-back years. That kind of a comeback win. The Islanders have done some good things that they haven't done in a long time as a team and some guys individually.
Right. But
the one thing that would concern me objectively is your number one goalie's out.
Yes,
yep.
100%.
And Thomas Greiss, as well as I've seen him play, because he played great against the Rangers the other night, but he has absolutely
no starting experience
in the playoffs.
Right?
No.
Right. Agreed.
And if you want to add in the other two goalies, it's still zero.
Yeah, you're right.
So that's the one thing that's got to be
concerned. It's only Gibson now. The other guy's out.
You know, not that he can't catch
fire,
but
that's
a concern.
He had his first start against Washington.
What is Berube's status?
He's out.
What did he hurt?
I mean, you guys are the Islanders fans.
He's done for the rest of the year.
Really? He's done?
I didn't realize
he was hurt. He's out, and that's why they brought up Gibson.
We summed it up a couple times. Ralphie mentioned it. John mentioned it again.
But Halak is supposed to come back in the second round.
Okay,
if the Islanders make it that far,
which they
will.
But again,
they will. Okay, it's good.
I've been doing this for 22 years. The same thing. It's the same song. It's the same dance.
I know. You get to start over every year. It's great.
I say it every time.
It's all right. It's okay. I got to take it. That's fine.
How was you supposed to be?
Yeah.
No, I don't expect anything less.
Fan, right?
I expect nothing less.
Well, we went over this before. We were talking about this. We named another team like Calgary. Calgary, you know, really kind of stinks. They won. They won a playoff series like 10 years ago.
Right. The
Islanders haven't won. It's amazing how long, 22 years for any team not advancing out of
the first round.
Here's the significance of what resides
baseball,
on your shoulder.
Baseball, football, they have to do it this year.
You can't take all the sports because not all the sports let 16 teams in the playoffs.
Right.
But between the NBA and the NHL, where 16 teams make the playoffs, since 1993, teams that have been in either league since 1993, the Islanders are the only franchise that has not won a playoff series.
In 20
That's just another thing to go with. you know, with those two franchises within one theory.
Right.
So, so if they win the series this year, what are you going to talk about next
season? I told John, I'm like, pick a team. So I told John, I said, pick a team, and I'll show you. Yeah. So he picked out Edmonton. I'm like, well, Edmonton's won, I think it was like 7 playoff series since 93.
Okay.
I said, pick another one. He picked the team, but it was like, you know, it was like Winnipeg. They've only been around since 2000.
Right. Yeah, took Calgary.
They were the Flashes. So you got to pick a team that's been around since at least 1993. So he picked Calgary. I said, let me look at Calgary because they've had a lot of bad years.
Yeah,
but they went to the Cup one year. So I'm like, oh, Calgary won 4 playoff series. So John goes to me, well, 4, that's nothing. I said, yeah, but it's more than 0. John.
Yes.
And he starts he starts laughing on the phone. We were talking the other night.
It's so
and
true.
I'm like, there you go. We rehearsed our show. You should ask it like that. We'll do all
you know, what do you got? Look, you're not. The three of us are around the fans. We've been doing this. We've been doing this for a long time.
Listen, and even the Ottawa Senators
have won a playoff
series. The Rangers had to carry.
Even Ottawa Senators have won a playoff series in that time.
Oh, yeah. Ottawa went to the Stanley Cup in 2007.
Yeah.
And lost to the
Ducks. I forgot about that.
And as bad as Edmonton's been, and they've been drafting they've just been drafting the wrong plays. I mean, they've been getting these great offensive plays. But in Edmonton,
they've been horrific since the lockout.
They were in the Cup a couple of years ago.
First year out of the lockout.
Yeah. And since then, nothing.
Yeah. I mean, look, we've been on the bottom, too. That's a whole team.
I'm just being objective about it. My whole youth growing up through high school, middle school, high school, into college, Rangers didn't win the Cup till after I was out of college. I was a cop.
Yes.
Okay, I had to live with it. 1940, the Islanders invented that. I remember I'll never forget the banner with the Islander logo, and it said 1940.
I chanted it many times.
And the whole
and now that was older. That was 54 years.
And now, guys, we go 1 in 75.
So for a guy like me that lived
one cup in 75 years.
Once the spell's broken, that's it. You can't go back.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, I lived with it. I had to take it. I had to take the chance at the Coliseum on TV, whatever. It was fine in school. You name it, I took it. So in order for me to find a little comfort now with what's gone on with the Islanders the last 20-something years, I found this little tidbit in my own research, and I find comfort in kind of like the, you know, I used to enjoy the curse of the Red Sox when they couldn't win a World Series.
So one issue I'll take with that, and it's not with you per se, but you can use support, because we've had this conversation about fans in general to begin with, is far too many Ranger fans since that 94 win strut around like they're, you know, have the Yankees championship record, and basically they've experienced one cup win in their lifetime. And they talk, and they play a good game, and yes, they've had success in the playoffs, but they've never gotten to the promised land again since then. So you got to, you know, curb your enthusiasm.
Yeah, there are a lot of Ranger fans that do aggravate me. A lot of times I block them from Twitter so I don't have to read the nonsense.
Right.
But I think part of the problem, and I'm not making an excuse for them, because I don't really, when it comes to being a Ranger fan, I only care about myself, obviously, my friends and my family foremost, because that's what it was about growing up. Sunday dinners, watching the Rangers play, the playoffs, all that stuff. But unfortunately, most Ranger fans in general are also Yankee and Giant fans. And I kind of tend to feel, and this is what aggravates me about Ranger fans, when they don't separate the three teams and they carry the same mentality that they have with the Yankees and Giants, who have won in a good clip.
Mm-hmm.
Based on their sports.
And then they complain
about compared to the Rangers, when they carry that attitude with the Rangers, I find that, like, they're losing sight of what they went through before they won a cup.
Right, right.
You know, and you got to...
That's a good point.
No matter what goes on with the Rangers, I will always have the comfort of knowing I want to stay on the cup. You know, whether they win or lose. At this point, I'm just willing to bypass a Jet Super Bowl to see the Rangers win again, because I didn't like what went on with the Jets after they went to those back-to-back title games,
mm-hmm.
and they started dismantling their team. And Rex Ryan wasn't developing his players or developing as a head coach.
No, devoted more time throwing them under the bus, actually.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, this is what it is now.
Well, before we get any further on, if you have a moment, we need to acknowledge one thing about this regular season. And for the first time in NHL, we have an American-born player winning the Art Ross Trophy.
Yeah, Patrick Kane,
Patrick
right?
Kane.
Oh, yeah.
Who had what a phenomenal season,
good
absolutely.
Job.
Yeah. He is the best offensive player.
Absolutely incredible season. And despite seeing, and they talked about goal scoring and whatnot in the past, you look and see, they had a trivia question in the Islander game the other night about the 50-goal scorer. The last time the Islanders had a 50-goal scorer in the season was actually Pierre Turgeon in 93 when they had that great playoff run with one of the most horrendous plays in NHL playoff history with Dale Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
But,
that was horrible.
You don't see the point production that we've seen in years past with the 100-goal seasons or other things that we've seen with the Teemu Selanne years in the early 90s.
Right.
But here you have a guy, Patrick Kane, who turned it on this year in a big way, and a team that was up and down a lot, Chicago. If you picked follow them along during the season, they were up and down throughout the entire year.
Right.
And he still put up an unbelievable. There's nobody even close to him.
Their offense is insane. They're insane. They have a little few problems on the defense though, right?
Well, Duncan Keith's suspended, but he's only given this one game in the playoffs.
That's nothing.
You know, Corey Crawford's back.
He's back.
You know, I was out in Chicago last week. Me and my a buddy of mine went out there to referee, and we went to the Chicago-Boston game.
Really?
How was that?
And Chicago put up 6 goals before the midpoint of the game. I really wanted to see them score, like, over 10 goals and just bury Boston. But Boston came back and made it respectable.
Okay.
6-4-5. But just watching Patrick Kane move the puck around with Panarin alone, their rookie, Artemi Panarin.
That guy's incredible.
It was unbelievable, the goals that they were setting up.
What does he have, 30 goals?
The touch passes, everything they have.
He's a rusher, that kid. He got like 30 goals this year. He just had
77 points. Yeah, 30 goals.
He's insane.
He's going to be right there for rookie of the year.
If you watch him play.
It's either him or Philly's guy, Gospin.
If you watch him play, from the back, he looks a little like Kane.
Yeah.
He has the same movements as Kane does. Insane. That's why Chicago is probably.
But I mean, they have two defensemen.
30 goals and 47 assists.
Insane.
On that line.
A Ranger I used to like, Anisimov, who wound up there if they had made a trade with Columbus
right.
Before the season. And he's playing with Kane and Panarin, and he's cashed in. He's put up over 40 points, 20-goal season for him. Probably his first 20-goal season of his career. But they're top-heavy in their scoring. They really are with Kane and Panarin. And teams are going to have to focus on
picking up Andrew Ladd, you know, that's
money
in the bank.
They made a lot of good additions at the end because they are in a position where they can take the chance on moving young prospects. I mean, they had to move Letty because they couldn't afford to play everybody.
Thank you.
And pay everybody.
That was
and they had to let Hayes go to the Rangers because they couldn't afford to sign into a contract he might have wanted to stay with them. He was a draft pick of theirs also. But they can afford to make those trades like they did at the deadline and go for that fourth Stanley Cup. And they're in a real good position.
Yes,
they've had a great run the last, 5 years, I guess, where they won 3-5?
They're a modern-day dynasty.
Yes.
The collective bargaining agreements, everything like that, I don't think you're ever going to see consecutive
games
like you did in years past.
Absolutely.
So you really got to. They're the closest thing we'll see to it probably lifetimes.
Yeah.
Is 3-6 years as being a.
There's only two teams.
I can't agree with you more, Matt. That was he's 100% right.
There's only
that.
Two teams I don't care what their regular seasons were like, and that's Chicago and LA.
Yeah.
The Western Conference is about those two
because
teams.
Because Jonathan Quick and those guys could stand on their head.
It don't matter.
The thing is, they're little.
Gabrick's out tonight or not? They are
LA's, but LA's losing a scorer. Gabrick's out. Marion Gabrick's out, and he's not coming back.
Oh, he's out now.
He's been out. I just want to tell you this: the Islanders are up 3. I mean, the Flyers are still winning 3-2, and we brought up Ryan Pulock before.
Right.
He had 2 assists tonight, by the way.
That's nice.
Yeah, for a young kid, that's good, man. Yeah. He's having a
good. He's going to get a lot of ice time in the playoffs, right?
I think he will. I think he should. Gibson's
in net, and nobody picks playing Clutterbucks in there, which I wouldn't be playing.
Pulock right now is probably should be moved up to your fourth defenseman.
Right. Yep.
I agree with you.
Before we go to break, as they head towards the midpoint of the game, the Ducks lead the Capitals 2-0.
Does that game mean anything for the Ducks?
It means a lot because the Ducks win the game. They finish in first place.
Okay.
And they'll play Nashville, right?
Yes.
As opposed to playing San Jose, who's another team, right? Like Anaheim, like Pittsburgh. San Jose, they didn't start out great this year, and they turned around. They've been a real Joe Pavelski, Joe Thornton, another top 5 or 6 scorers this year. I mean, they're getting great production.
That's
why. Watch out
great
for Nashville.
From Martin
Jones. Nashville's sneaky, man.
Nashville's got has our coach on that team, and you got to respect that guy.
Right,
he's been successful everywhere he's been.
I think Anaheim wants to be in first place, though. I don't think
turnaround.
You want to play San Jose right away if you're Anaheim.
The West is just they got a bunch of. Well,
it's a better conference.
Here's the problem. The Western Conference playoffs basically been set for the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks of the season, and here we are again in the East. Beating each other up going into the last 2-3
games.
Well,
the only thing.
Well, Washington's playing for nothing.
The only
anyway.
Thing that is set is Chicago.
Washington was set, but everybody else still was vying for a position.
The only thing set right now is Chicago will play St. Louis in the first round.
Which that's going to
be an early
be
exit
on
again
NBC
for
as
the
much
Blues.
As possible.
You going to St. Louis again?
No, I'm not. But Elliott is playing as well as any goalie in the league right now.
Tarasenko is insane. He had
40th goal.
40th goal. He's got like
and 40. The Blues are big, strong, and fast. So if Backus gets back in there, they're going to have a chance. I don't know how much of a chance I give him against Chicago because Chicago just oozes that confidence.
Right.
That's going to be a great series.
It's kind of sad seeing those two because they. I mean, it's going to be a great series. You would want to see that series a little later.
Yes.
The Blues and
you're going to get it right away.
But you're going to get
it's a 2-3 matchup. All the 2-3 matchups are going to be big series in the NHL.
Yep.
It's, yeah, okay. That's how it is.
Because the other one's going to be San Jose, L.A., or San Jose, Anaheim. That's a big series.
Regardless of the matchup,
that's a California. That's a California dream matchup.
Yeah,
with the rivalries. Okay, and the other series that's set in the West is Minnesota versus the old Minnesota. Minnesota's playing Dallas, and that's the first time that that's going to occur in the playoffs.
Oh, wow.
All right, so Dallas originally was the Minnesota North Stars. Relocated to Dallas. Now they're going to play the Minnesota Wild. So there'll be a storyline with that, guaranteed, in terms of NBC.
Well,
Minnesota's the hockey hotbed.
Regardless of the matchups, we all know there's no better sport than playoffs.
No
sport comes close to matching the intensity, the pace, and what takes place in playoff hockey.
In the playoffs, it's the you better believe it, baby. It's the best thing.
And the other ones we know,
hockey, the best.
Philly's going to play Washington.
Right,
and there's
know
no
that.
Way Washington's losing that series. And we know that Detroit's playing Tampa Bay. And we'll talk more about those in the second half of the show. This first half's matching up. We come back to start the second half of our two-hour NHL playoff extravaganza. We will have Rick Carbonello of the Journal News and Rangers Report join us for a little Rangers talk. I saved the fan because I ranted my last show. So come on back. Keep tuned in. Back after this.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.